have happened out on the streets. I stood up in the cinema and preached in the cinema once. If you want to know that story, you can read it in here. I was petrified, I'll be honest. But it was really, really good. And so there's loads of stories in there. And I just want to recommend it to you to build your own faith. Because it's not only in this room that we want to build faith, but you want to build faith in your own lives as well, in your own families, in your own environments where you've got influence. So this is a great coffee table book that you can just put down and people can just pick it up, read a story and ask you questions about who this Jesus is. So the first book that I gave away was to a person that came into our 24-hour prayer meeting, not a Christian, just randomly walked in, often works in our coffee shop just as an entrepreneur, and I ended up prophesying with him and leading him into an encounter with Jesus. And I decided to give this book to him. And haven't heard anything since. Well, I have. I met him like a month later, and he said, Marco, you wouldn't believe it. I've had the best month of business ever since that you prayed for me, and because that's what we prayed for. But then after I gave the book, I haven't seen him, so I don't know. But anyway, I will recommend it. Steve will sell that out in the foyer after this session. So just before I get Amanda up, I just want Richard to just come and it's Richard, isn't it? Yeah, would you mind sharing just what God did in the first session? It's really wonderful.
Just love it when God shows up when you don't expect Him to. Marco was just sharing a story early on when he was, I think, in a vision, and Jesus was sat on the sofa, and Jesus put the TV on, and he saw himself riding a bike. And at that moment, God just started to bring back a host of memories. Now, I had a good upbringing, and good parents, and all the rest of it, but it just reminded me of a series of events related to my father. My dad came home one day, and he had a bike for my second eldest brother and myself. And my second eldest brother learned the typical way of riding a bike, somebody holding up the saddle and making certain he didn't fall off. But because I didn't know, I couldn't ride the bike. I just got on and rode it, wobbled down the street, but I rode it. And when I come back up, my father never said, "Well done." Never said, "That's great." And suddenly this memory came back, and then with that came a flood of other memories. I went on to big school, as we used to call it, comprehensive school. And suddenly was chosen as the first son to play for the school rugby team. And I came home and I was delighted. The PE teacher said, "Training Saturday." And I told the family, and my dad went, "No son of mine is playing rugby." So I got a well done. I got a pat on the back. But you know, they weren't demonstrative. But suddenly this kind of stuff started to come to the surface. And with it, you suddenly feel kind of the pain of the disappointment. So Marco said, "I'd like you to imagine this moment again. Go back to when you're little. You sat. The bike comes home. Your dad brings the bike home. You get in the bike. You ride it down the street. How do you feel towards your dad?" "Well, I actually feel really disappointed that he couldn't just pat me on the back and go, 'Well done.'" And all of a sudden the hurt comes out. "Are you really feeling?" And he was trying to make me get angry with my dad. And I could never get angry. I could get angry with my mother, but I could never get angry with my dad. It was just that kind of respect and all that kind of stuff. And then Marco said, "But where in this scene do you see Jesus?" "Well, they weren't born again, like, I mean. Well, right, you've got to see Jesus when you're not born again. But okay, where do I see Jesus?" "Just go for it." Now, I got a good imagination, but for this stuff, my imagination kind of doesn't work. And suddenly, I saw Jesus outside our house. It was a concrete lamppost. And Jesus was at the lamppost. "So what are you doing there?" "Cheering you on." It's amazing, isn't it? You know. And then Margo said, "So, what phrase comes into you? As you see Jesus, now he's not with you, kind of, I'm wobbling, but he's keeping me in the saddle, I didn't fall off, and he's still at the lamppost, but what phrase comes to mind?" And I was expecting some chapter and verse, because, you know, that's the way I'm wired, you know. And it was, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Isn't Jesus amazing? How he just comes alongside with stuff that we have forgotten, that we bury, and suddenly and we forget there's hurt attached to some of it, and suddenly you've got the approval of a bigger father looking after you, standing at the lamppost,
beaming,
smiling, big grin, just this big smile, as in a little lad, short pair of trousers, knobbly knees, wobbling on a bike, and suddenly the pleasure of the Heavenly Father. Praise God.
Yes. Wow, what a storyteller. He's good at telling stories, isn't he? That's incredible. Wow, fantastic. I just love it. Like, God is moving in this room already and doing some beautiful stuff. So I want to say, take it. Take it. If someone else's story is your story, we tell stories to give glory to God and also that we get faith that God, if he can do it in you, he can do it in me. Yeah? Okay, so this is an amazing woman. This is an absolutely phenomenal woman. This is Amanda, and I've asked her to do this session this afternoon. And Amanda is the most anointed freedom person that I know. But more than anointed, she is really fun to be around. I love that I get to be family with her family, and I often go over there, and we just have great fun. You're such a champion of people. You're such an encourager of people. You bring life in every room that you're in, Amanda. You're such a gift to the body of Christ. I still remember one time we were praying for someone together, and we were sitting in a room, and as soon as Amanda started praying for this third person that me and her were going to pray for, the presence of God just filled the room in such a measure that I started weeping. The whole session wasn't about me. I literally just started crying because of the presence of God that this woman carries, the anointing for freedom. And I really want to encourage you that her words are very, very powerful. And so when we honor her together as a group here, then we can receive the reward that God has given her so that we can partake in that fantastic breakthrough as well. So I really want to commend this woman as a woman of God that is very, very significant in the kingdom of God. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen this afternoon. So can we maybe stand and just welcome Amanda? Is that okay?
Thank you. No pressure. No pressure. Can you hear me? Is that all right? Is that okay on? I was just laughing at me getting up with all these papers. Most people get up, don't they, with an iPad. Shows my age, doesn't it? It's like, yeah. So, yeah. Okay, so it is so good to be here. As Marco said, when we came last time, we loved it here. It was the best place we went, wasn't it? It was just amazing. So we were so happy when you asked us back. And I'll just introduce myself a bit. I'm called Amanda, and I'm married to someone called Peter, and he was going to come last year, but he keeps getting called abroad, so he couldn't come, but he says to say hello to everyone. And up to about 3 years ago, we lived in London, and then God calls us to Bedford, which to me, I thought I was moving up north. I used to tell them, moving north. I realise it's not at all. And I love my family. I really love my family. I've got four grown-up children and six grandchildren. And when we were told, when God said about moving, the sad thing was all our children lived on the south coast. And it was like, oh, and some of my grandchildren, I just don't want to leave them there. But we knew, you know, when God said something in your heart and you want to be obedient. So we moved, and my husband said, I'm going to pray that all the children move to Bedford. And it was like, we are never moving to Bedford. We're never going to move there. And within 3 years, three of them have moved. We've got one daughter, and she's still on the south coast, and she said, stop praying, Mum, I don't want to move to Bedford. So, yeah. So, you know, as well as loving my family, I love God's family, and my passion is for people to find freedom, and find that freedom so that they can have a greater intimacy with the Father. Because, you know, sometimes things can clog up our hearts, can't they? That can stop that intimacy flowing in. Yeah, so that's like my passion. That's what I love. And I'm still on a journey with this. So on a journey. And do you find that the more you get to know Jesus, the more you realise you don't know him? There's always more. There's always more, isn't there, to getting to know him and his love. And I just feel I've just started. But, you know, he's got more revelation of his love for you this afternoon. Yeah, more freedom for you. He's got more for you this afternoon. So we're going to see what he wants to do. And I was thinking about freedom, and that looks different, doesn't it, for people. And my 3-year-old little granddaughter, she asked Jesus into her heart over the summer when she was with her dad, and he was putting her to bed. And that was the same age that my daughter was when she asked Jesus into her heart. And the next day she came to church, or the next Sunday she came to church dressed in her Elsa dress. You know Elsa? As you do, wearing your Elsa dress. And we were in like, it was an overflow room because it was the summer, and it's probably about the same size as this. And during worship, she got this dress on and she was just dancing around like this. And I was like proud grandma at the back. And then she came and got my hand. I said, come on, Nanny. And she sort of, I was sort of like taking me up the front, and then she said, got a little stage in there like this, and she said, come on, Nanny, let's go on the stage and dance together. And I was like, oh my goodness, realised how unfree I was. And I was just, in that moment, I was thinking, okay, I don't want to sort of squash her. Do I get on the stage and dance and never be able to come back to this church? Or what? And then I just looked, and there was this sign, no children on the stage. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I was like, a relief. But she was like so happy, and she was dancing around. She kept dancing when I wasn't doing it. She kept dancing. And I could see her like mouthing stuff. And after I said, what were you saying? And she said, I was telling Jesus I love him. And I said, oh, does he say anything back to you? And she said, yes, he say he loved Bella too, because that's her name. He loved Bella too. And I thought, isn't that amazing to be that free? And, you know, when we find freedom, it doesn't mean we're going to all dance around the church, but you never know, you might. Okay. So, you know, she was really free. When we had to take her dress off later when she got her dinner down, it, she wasn't so full of joy and peace, but you can imagine. So how are you doing at having like peace and contentment now in the present, but that running alongside a sense of adventure and what, you know, your vision is, what God's given you dreams for the future? I'm thinking, I can't see this. I haven't got my glasses on, that's why. Put them on. I can see. So I'm still on a journey with that. And I definitely haven't got it all sorted. But I'm just going to share a few things today. We're going to do some ministry. We're going to like break it into two halves. I'm going to share a few things, a little bit of some stuff in my life and how I got some freedom. And then I'm going to lead you into just receiving the Father's love for yourself. And we're going to have a time of encounter. So it'll be like in two parts. So, good. So I'm just going to pray. Father, I take authority over everything hanging around in this room or on this property that wants to insert itself and mess with what you want to do here this afternoon. I kick out anything that will not bow its name to the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I invite you to minister to these amazing people who you love so much. We submit only to you. We give you superiority in this place. Thank you for your goodness, everything you are, and everything you've done and do for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I take authority over this time and place and commit it all to you for your glory. Would you minister to people? Would you just bring Jesus more revelation of your love this afternoon? Freedom where you know that people need freedom. Thank you, Lord. So as we look around us, we can see, can't we, so much heartbreak in the world. There's so much stuff as we look at the news, you know, pain, injustice, sickness, marriage breakup, abuse, racial abuse. There's so much, you know, awful stuff that goes on. And as Christians, we're not exempt, are we, from feeling that pain and going through some of those things in our life. And Jesus says, in this world you will have trouble. You know, we will, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And I think I shared a little bit of this, I'm not going to go into great detail, of my story last time I was here. And personally, my eldest daughter, she, when she was 12, she developed anorexia. She was, we found out years later that she'd been abused as a little girl. She was very ill. She was in hospital for a couple of years and had severe mental breakdowns for about 12 years because of what had happened. And we weren't really aware that what had happened in her childhood, so we didn't really know what was going on. At one time, because she couldn't make sense of all the feelings she was having, she actually accused her dad of raping her. And that was very traumatic for my husband. He hadn't done it. But she was trying to make sense of all these feelings and thoughts she was having. And he wanted to kill himself. We lived near the River Thames. He went down there. He was actually going to jump in. And, you know, God obviously stopped him. But he was in, you know, as you can imagine when something like that happens, not in a good place. Around the same time, my youngest daughter developed epilepsy, which the doctors couldn't get under control. And most weeks, I would get a phone call from the school and I'd rush around there and we'd be blue lighted off to the hospital. And in the end, she refused to go to school because it was just too stressful for her to keep having these fits. And I also had my two other children to care for. So you can imagine that time in my life was not the most peaceful. And most days it was like a battle in my mind to choose to trust God despite the circumstances going on. And sometimes I would manage it, and sometimes I wouldn't. You know, and that's reality, isn't it? We want to believe God, and it was like a real battle at times. So how do we find rest and peace when all this stuff goes on in our lives? Because I'm sure for all of you, you've all been through, many of you may be going through things now that are hard and difficult. And for me, going through that difficult time, just a few things were really key just to help me. So I remember once, it was a particularly bad time, and I was reading the Word, and I was reading through Song of Songs. And God spoke to me through that, and He said, my banner over you and your family is love. And it was like, okay. And it was like, well, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't look like it. But I had a choice then. Okay, I'm going to believe that, Father, you love me and you love my family. And He wants to say the same to you. If any of you are going through hard times, He wants to say His banner over you is love. You know, He loves you. Don't look at the circumstances. Don't think He doesn't. I did that. It was like, oh, how can I go through this? How can He love me? But the truth is, He does love us. And then another thing that really helped me was a verse that spoke straight to my heart. I mean, it's a well-known verse in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't rely on your own understanding. And we can quote that, can't we? But for me, that verse is like, whoa, really key. It spoke to my heart. And when things were like, I do not understand, I don't think I can go on, it was like that verse, the Holy Spirit would bring it to my mind, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And it was like, I have a choice in that moment to trust or not to trust. And most of the time it was like, okay, I'm going to choose to trust you, even though I don't understand. Another thing that helped me was that she... there was this song, and it's very, what's the word, twee. What's the word for twee? A bit cheesy, that's the word I'm looking for. It was a bit cheesy, and it was all about a vase that had been broken, but God was going to make it new, and it was going to be more beautiful than before. And I knew the Holy Spirit was talking to me about Catherine through that. Actually, he's going to make her more beautiful than before. Another thing that is really helpful is being thankful in the small things. So this is, yeah, so powerful. And if I looked at the big picture, it was like, oh, what have I got to be thankful for? But finding him in the small things. So I would just thank him, you know, when someone would write me a card, when someone would pray for me, when someone would perhaps do a meal for us, or when I'd go into the hospital and Catherine would be smiling. It would be, I'm going to thank you for those small things. And actually, when we've got a heart of thanks, things shift. So even now, you know, when I go through difficult times, I'll go out for a walk and I'll say, Holy Spirit, bring to my mind everything to be thankful for. And I'll just thank him. And then at the end of it, it's like, whoa, I'm in a different place. You know, it's so powerful. Be thankful. Find him in the small things. Another thing that helped me was that I could just about look after my family, but at the time I was in quite a lot of church leadership, and my first mindset was I have to stoically keep going, you know, look after my family, keep going, doing all this stuff. And when the Lord spoke and said, it's okay, you can put it all down. You know, I'm a loving father, I've got a tender heart, you don't have to keep trying to push forward with all this stuff. And so I did that. And knowing that I could just sit with him and be, because often, I don't know about you, but when things are really hard, sometimes you don't have the words, do you, to know what to say. And often I wouldn't have the words, and I would just sit there, and I'd hold a photo of her, and I would cry, and my tears would like splash onto her photo. But that's powerful, God knows that. And he sees that, and it says in Psalm 56, you keep track of all my sorrows, you have collected all my tears in your bottle. You know, and it's the same for all of you. No tear that you've cried is ever wasted. God's got them in his bottles. They're really precious, really precious to him. So I was at a training event one day. So all this was going on. I was at a training event. And they did this thing where they said, because we all see the world, don't we, through different lenses, through different ways of looking, filters that we see the world through, depending on how we've been brought up. You know, stuff in our childhood, what's going on now. We see the world through those lenses. And they did this thing and they said, right, ask the Father, what lenses do you see the world through? And my initial thought was, well, I'll ask him, but he won't talk to me. How many of you think that sometimes? Well, I'll talk to God, but he won't answer me. But of course he does, because we're his sheep and we hear his voice, don't we? So I asked him, I said, okay, what colour do I see the world through? What colour lenses? And straight away the Holy Spirit said, you see through blue lenses. And it was like, oh, blue lenses. And I said, well, what are they? And he said, you see the world through sadness. And it was like, oh, that's why I keep crying. You know, it was like I was sad, but I hadn't really registered. It was so normal to me to feel like that. And then I handed Jesus those glasses. I said, I don't want to see the world through those lenses. I hand them to you. What do you want to give me in return? And he said, I want to give you back joy. I want you to see the world through joy. And that wasn't like a quick thing. So it wasn't like one minute I had all this sadness, the next day I was full of joy and all the sadness had gone. But it was the Father highlighting something in my life that he wanted to work on, that he was pinpointing, that he was going to highlight. And so it was like over a couple of years, actually, that it took the time for that sadness to come out. And I'll tell you a bit about that in a minute. But we're going to do that because it's quite fun to do that and see what the Father's saying to us. So I'm going to invite you to perhaps shut your eyes. And then just say after me to the Father, Father, what coloured lenses do I see the world through? Now, if he gives you a colour, ask him what that colour represents. He might have just told you a word like sadness or whatever. Okay. Now, if he's shown you a colour and you've asked him and it's a positive bit where you see the lenses you see the world through, you don't need to take them off and hand them to God. We'll ask him to add to that. But if you think like me, oh, perhaps that's not quite the way he wants me to see the world, then why don't you just say after me, and just prophetically take off the glasses. You know, there's something about doing things in the spirit. Take them off and say, Father, I hand these lenses, whatever they are, say to you. Yeah. Okay. And then just say, Father, what lenses do you want to give me in return? That he gives you, and then just receive that from him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Okay. Does anyone want to be brave enough and share? Yeah? Yeah? Pardon? Oh, okay.
The sickness of the world. And the change was to green and to opportunity.
And what does that mean to you, opportunity?
Opportunity. God has so much more for us in the world, and it's not just a negative thing, but a positive.
Okay.
Change, a positive shift
in
how you view things or how I will now view things compared to what did before.
That's brilliant. What's your name? Tom. God, I pray for Tom. I pray, Father, that as he's done this, that you would just open up now opportunities for him. Open up opportunities.
I got red at the start. Which meant stop, but it was really about lacking confidence. And then afterwards I got, I kind of got silver sparks, it sounds silly, and I felt it was to do with where it said in the Bible about soaring on wings like eagles and having the confidence to engage with God's strength more in what he's calling
me. Wow, okay. And what's your name?
Simon.
Simon. Father, I pray for Simon. Let him just soar on wings like eagle. Let him soar, God. I just impart confidence to him now. New season, Lord.
So I have black, so I look at the evil in the world, and God replaced those with green lenses, and he was telling me that I have to trust him more to renew people and to turn them towards him. As in new life, as in new
okay. spring for them.
Right. So trusting him to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
What's your name?
Dawn.
Dawn. Father, I pray for Dawn that you would do that, God. Increase her trust now in you. Rise up trust in her heart, Lord. Yeah. Yeah?
I got grey, which I was a bit surprised about. So I did ask God what that was about. And it was the work, you know, doing, working too much out of sense of duty, even in the kingdom, you know, like a sense of always just working. I gave them to my father, God. And he gave me yellow ones back. And I got a sense that, I said that again, didn't really know what that meant, so I asked, and got a sense of the bright morning star. So he's giving me glasses to see things the way Jesus sees them, because he is the bright morning star. So to see the world as God sees them, and not just a sense of the duty to do
right.
God's work.
Yeah, so good. Yeah, God, we just break off any performance. Yeah, break it off, God, in the name of Jesus. A new place of rest and freedom. Whoa, yeah, thank you, Lord. Okay, one more.
So I got yellow lenses, and I didn't know what that meant. And I felt God was saying that when I look at other people, I see them as being happier than they really are. And that compounds how I feel. Because I feel everyone else being happier than, you know, they really are. And then I said, okay, what are you going to give me back? And he said he replaced them with infrared lenses so I could see where he was working. Sorry, I used to be a chemist. I could see where he was working and I could go and join in, basically.
Wow. Okay. So I just pray for increased gift of discernment. Increased gift of discernment, Lord. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. I'd like to hear everybody's, but tell me afterwards because I'd still like to hear, but I'd better get on. So Mark will be chucking me off. okay. So when God showed me that my lenses were sadness, he showed me that that was due to disappointment, that I had got, because of what had happened with my family, with Catherine and Annie and things, I'd got disappointment like layer upon layer upon layer. And I hadn't dealt with it. It would be like something else would come and then I'd squash it down until my heart was like, oh, chock-a-block with it. But I didn't really realise because it felt so normal to me. Because sometimes it can be like that. We get used, don't we, to a way of feeling. And Bill Johnson, he says, the biggest barrier to breakthrough in the UK is disappointment that hasn't been dealt with. So why deal with it? So in Proverbs it says, above all else, guard your heart because it is the wellspring of life. And everything flows, doesn't it, from our heart. So if my heart was all clogged up with disappointment, what's flowing out of it? Sadness, disappointment. Now, I could mask that a bit, but actually that was what was really there. And it says, doesn't it, above all else, before you do anything else, guard your heart, because that's where everything else flows from. You know, as Marco was saying today, you know, that's where our relationship from the Father flows from, our heart. So disappointment that hasn't been dealt with will directly attack your faith and your relationship with the Father. And he loves each one of you so much. And you were made for relationship with him. Yet when that disappointment comes in, it blocks that intimacy that he longs for and you long for. And there's so many areas, aren't there, we can get disappointed in. I just wrote down a few here. We can get disappointed in sickness. So when our family's sick and ill, you know, it doesn't seem to end. If we're perhaps single and we'd like to be married. Perhaps we are married or we've been divorced, things are hard, we're struggling. Perhaps our partner, our husband or wife isn't a Christian. children. Perhaps I overlooked for a job promotion, finances, exams. Perhaps we feel we've been overlooked in ministry, things we think what we would like to have been chosen for and haven't. Friendships, perhaps, you know, disappointment not being able to have children. There's so many things, aren't there, that can come in and just build up in our life. And if we haven't dealt with it, we won't expect too much, will we? Because that will be our level of expecting. And we'll protect ourselves in case we get disappointed again. And we won't promise others too much, just in case, because we want to protect them from feeling what we felt. So I remember once being at a conference and they were talking about healing and about praying for healing. And I realised in that moment, I have got, because of what I was going through, I have got no faith for healing. It was like, oh, I know God can do it, but I do not expect him to do it when I pray, or at all, really. I'm not in that place now, but I was. And it's like faith equals belief plus expectation. So I believed God could heal, but my expectation wasn't that he would heal when I prayed. And we can believe in our hearts God is good, but our expectation isn't that he'll be good to us. Yeah? And we can believe God loves to heal the sick, but we haven't got that expectation when we lay our hands on the sick and pray for them, they will be healed. And that can be because of disappointment. And I suggest that all of us have probably been disappointed, haven't we, at some time in our lives. So anyone that's never, no. And I think sometimes we don't deal with it. For me, I didn't deal with it because I hadn't got a clue how to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. I wasn't in a church at the time that would know how to do that sort of thing. So it just sat there. And also I think sometimes as Christians we can feel it's not right to be disappointed. You know, it's like, no, you know, we're good Christians, let's quote a few Bible verses and carry on. And so it all sits here and we're trying to get on, but it will affect us. Yeah. And another reason is we might feel it's dishonouring to God to feel disappointed, because he is good, isn't he? And we feel it's dishonouring. But he's given us emotions, and our emotions are like, you know, if the oil light comes on in a car, you know there's something wrong. If you tape over it or ignore it, you do that at your peril, really, don't you? And it's the same with our emotions. If we just keep pushing them down, putting tape over them, in the end, something will go wrong. And the Psalms are full, aren't they, of emotion. And God is an emotional God. And we are made in his image. And emotions are neither right nor wrong. It's like what you do with them. So about love, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength. And then in another verse, it says, do not love the world. So it's what you do with that. And anger's the same. I think as Christians, we can sometimes feel it's wrong to be angry. But anger isn't wrong. It's how we deal with it that matters. And if we don't deal with it at all, it would lead to like hostility and hate. But it's not the same as hostility and hate. Anger's an emotion and we often have to get it out. And things I notice when I minister to people, often if they're angry and they've never expressed that, they will turn that in on themselves. So I think that's what happened with my daughter. She didn't really know consciously she was doing that, but she turned it in and hated herself. So emotions are like, are not poisonous plants to be eradicated, but like wild plants to be cultivated. So, and I think this British culture, especially like my parents' generation and probably a bit of mine, not so good at sort of dealing with emotions and being honest. So, how do we deal with disappointment? So I'm going to run through a few just points, and then I'm just going to lead us through individually, so we can move out a little bit. We're going to put some music on, and I'm just going to give you an opportunity in a minute to come and ask the Father any disappointment in your heart that actually he wants to get out today, so he can pour more of his love in. So a few things. Be brutally honest with God. So when I was dealing with disappointment about Catherine, I was really honest. I didn't blame God because he can't do anything wrong. But I was honest and I was like, I can't understand why I've gone through this. And, you know, look at everything in my family, all my family's messed up. You know, I would be so honest, and I can say it now, but at the time I would cry and scream and really be so upset and get that pain out. And then I would do that, and then it's forgive anyone that's connected to that disappointment. So for me, I had to forgive the guy that abused her. And it's given up our right to understand. I think that's one of the most powerful things that I found, because I thought if I could understand why, and God would just tell me why, I'll be okay. If I could understand. And in Matthew 11, John the Baptist is in prison, isn't he? And he's been there with Jesus, and he's baptized him, and, you know, he's Jesus' cousin, and he ends up in prison. And he sends his disciples to Jesus to say, you know, like, more or less, what is going on? You know, are you who you say you are? And Jesus says some stuff, and he says, you know, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And I know that's easier said than done, but that's what we're called to. So there may be mystery, but don't allow your lack of understanding to let it take offence, take root in your heart. To live free from offence, we have to make a choice in situations to lay down our right to understand. The lie is, if only we could understand, I would know peace. But the truth is, as it says in Philippians, we can know peace beyond our understanding. So I did that. When I did that, that was a big thing. I said to God, in the end, it was like, I do not know. I lay down my right to understand why all this has gone in my family, why she had to go through that. And I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. And that's when the peace of God came flooding in. And after that is declaring. After you've got that stuff out, then it's like you can start declaring who God is. And I would be like, oh, thank you, your banner over me is love. Thank you, I can trust you. Thank you, see the beginning from the end. It sort of makes room for the truth to come in. And when dealing with disappointment, especially if it's a big thing, remember, it's not always a quick one-off. You know, sometimes, for some of you today, you might get rid of a load of disappointment and you feel so much better. For some of you, it might just be the start. God will unlock some stuff and you might need to carry on, perhaps find a friend or do that at home and just get that disappointment out before you can get to a place of peace. So perhaps some good questions to ask yourself to identify unprocessed disappointment are, do you expect God's goodness in certain situations? In what areas of your life are you struggling to have faith? Is there any offence in your heart that is getting in the way of you growing in the revelation of the love of God and who he is? You know, and bad things happen, but God doesn't abandon us to evil. You know, he's equipped us to find peace by the Holy Spirit as we respond with good through relationship with him, being honest about how we really feel, and through the power of forgiveness, and through choosing to believe the truth. So I'm going to just ask Johnny, he's going to put on some instrumental music. If you feel, I'm going to lead you from the front. So this is a time just between you and the Father. If you want to move around into a space and you feel like you're too close to it, please do that. You know, feel free to move. So we're going to
Holy Spirit, will you just come? Draw closer. Thank you. Thank you. So just start off. Just ask the Father, do I have any disappointment in my heart? And if you haven't, that is amazing. Just sit and enjoy Him. But if He shows you something, then just start to talk to Him about it. Now, it's really important that you open your mouth and speak it out. Not that other people hear it, but it's really important because it needs to get out of your heart and out of your mouth. And I know that might feel a bit weird, but just try it. You can just whisper it. No one else can hear you. Just start to speak it out. You know, when this happened, Father, you're really disappointed about something now. Speak it out. That's it. Open your mouth and speak it out. It's amazing. Be real with Him. He knows what's in your heart anyway. You're not telling Him anything He doesn't know. But it's about building relationship with Him. Thank you, God. Keep bringing to mind things people need to speak out to you to get the pain out. Thank you. Like the Lord's saying, if some of this is disappointment over your children and where they're at, I feel He's saying He never takes His eyes off them. He knows, He sees it all. I feel He says He's got them. As you're just speaking that out, then if anyone comes to mind you need to forgive, make a choice to forgive for your sake, so you can walk free. Let them go. Hand them to Him. Don't let them still affect your life. Going, but when you feel you've got to that place where you can say to Jesus, I don't understand, but I give up my right to understand and I choose to trust you. Try and do that. Speak that out to Him. Make that decision in your heart. Just even
hand to him the thing you're disappointed. Two, give up your right to understand and picture yourself handing it to him. Or them to him, the person. Thank you, God. And hand him your right to understand, and then ask him what he wants to give you back in exchange. Thanking him. Like I was saying, just think of the small things, start thanking him. Would you start to come bring healing to any wound that has been caused by disappointment? Would you just come and bring healing now and release your healing power? Release your healing power into people's hearts. Come and fill those places where disappointment's gone. Thank you, God. Fill. Thank you. Fill. Thank you, you are good God. You have good things. Thank you, God. Raise people's hope. I just speak hope over you. Speak hope. Where that has been dashed by things, I speak hope. I call out hope. I say hope. Rise up in people's hearts. Rise up. Okay, you can just let's. I'm just going to carry on talking, but just stay in God's presence. And we're just going to spend some time just being and receiving from Him. Psalm 23 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And this is like an image of eating and drinking and receiving refreshment and nourishment from Him. And this is the Father's heart for you today, to come and receive. It says in Mark, freely you have received, freely give. And we cannot give away what we haven't received and what we do not have ourselves. We need to receive it first. And the more we receive, the more we have to give away. And like Martha, in the story of Martha and Mary in the Bible, we can sometimes be so busy doing things for God that we don't actually just have time to be with Him and linger in His presence. To rest in Him, love Him, enjoy Him, and let Him love and enjoy us back. Because He loves to do that. Do you know you can have a full diary but an empty heart? And the enemy, he loves to keep us busy and away from a deep relationship with the Father, because he knows that's where all real power and authority and anointing flows from being in his presence. And the Lord was talking to me about this last year, and I was on holiday, and he said to me, I just want you to spend time lingering in my presence for no other reason but just to be in my presence, and then see what I will do. I was like, okay, it's quite easy, I was on holiday, and that will look different to everybody, but for me, it was just where I would just lie on my bed in my hotel room and just be quiet and just say, I'm here. I've got no agenda. It wasn't a time of talking, praying, anything like that. But as I did that, as the week went on, God started to do things. So just started to bring people to me and my husband that started to ask about Jesus. I would be in a shop and I would get a word for someone and be able to pray for them. And the lady next door, God gave me some stuff for her. Now that just flowed out from being in his presence. So normally I would be thinking, all right, now I need to pray for a word. But it just happened. I wasn't even asking God. And I think God was showing me, as you're in my presence, just being because you want to be with me, I can do amazing things. And it's only our relationship with him that will truly satisfy and bring lasting joy and peace. And you can have the most amazing time of ministry. You could see signs and wonders, preach the best talk, lead many people to Jesus. And however brilliant these things are, which they are, they won't bring that lasting peace and satisfaction. Only he can do that. You know, you have a safe, secure place in his heart for all eternity. Everything you are and everything you need flows from that place. From that secret place. And I love doing loads of stuff for God. I love it, I enjoy it. But what I love best is being in that secret place with him. That's like, oh, I want to be in that place. And he wants you to know you are able to run into his arms even when you've badly messed up. That he enjoys being with you, hanging out with you, and you have nothing to prove. You've got nothing to prove to him. You can just be. And through the years with Catherine's behaviour, it was sometimes really hard. And when she turned against me and her dad, my heart was broken, but my love for her never changed. And when people would say things against her, which they would, it would be like, I would be like a mother lioness, and it would be like, I know, but don't you say anything about her, she's mine. And people soon realised they better not. And she was still my little girl, no matter what, and nothing would ever change that. And we would fast for her, cry for her, pray for her, and keep loving her, even when she threw it back in our face, because she was ours, and we loved her, and we love her with a passion. And those bad things she did couldn't put that love out. And as an imperfect parent, I loved and pursued her and never gave up, and there were no conditions to my love. How much more does a perfect heavenly father, how much more is he like that with us? You know, when we mess up, when we turn our back, you know, there have been times in my Christian walk that I have been unfaithful to him, but he's always been faithful to me. Never not being faithful. He says in Song of Songs, the Father's love, which talks about love, his love for you burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench that fire of love, and many rivers cannot sweep it away. I mean, if you picture one of those great big forest fires in Australia, that's God's love is burning like that and more for you. If you think of the worst day, when you did things you'd never want anyone else to know, and then think of the day that you felt so close to God and felt you were doing all amazing things, he loved you both the same on both those days. His love for you didn't change. And he wants to come this afternoon and draw really close to you, and invites you just to come and receive his love with no agenda. How hard do we find that as Christians? So much easier, isn't it, a lot of the time to be doing the stuff. And I know for me, just being with God can be challenging, and I could think of a million things I need to pray for or do or talks or whatever. And he'll sometimes say to me, Amanda, I know everything you need and I know everything you want. You don't need to go through it again. Just be quiet and calm and receive. In other words, be still and know that I am God. So, I'm going to pray in a minute and I'm going to speak some words over you that I feel God's given me. And then we're going to play, Johnny's going to, when I give him the thumbs up, he's going to play some a couple of songs. Just receive the words of these songs into your heart and what the Father wants to say to you through them. And then after that, I'm just going to lead you an encounter, but just stay connected with the Father and we'll see what else he wants to do. So I'm going to pray. Holy Spirit, would you calm and quieten people's hearts? Would you come with your peace and your stillness? I pray now for increased revelation of your love and that people receive all you have for them. Thank you, we receive by faith. My beloved sons, my beloved daughters, come to me as my children. My love for you is deep, high, long, and wide. You are in the center of my love. You cannot escape it. I am jealous for you. I am jealous for your love. Come to me. Let me wash your feet. Let me calm and soothe the sores, the knocks and the bruises. Give me all the stress and the striving. Let it all go to me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am gentle and humble in heart. Come to me. Let me love you. Let me minister to those deep places in your heart that are hurting. I hold your heart in my hand, and your heart is precious to me. Let me refresh you and bless you and do you good. I am a father who loves to do good to his children. I am not in a rush with you. Be still and know that I am God. Take a deep breath and let it all go and lie back in my arms. In quietness and trust is your strength.
Carried a burden for too long on my own. I wasn't created to bear it alone. I hear your invitation to let it all go. Yeah, I see.
No fear, no pain, just feel the rain. every song that you sing, I'll sing with you. And every tear that you cry, I'll cry with you. And every time that you laugh, I laugh with you. Oh, 'cause I died on that cross for you. And in a heartbeat, I'll do it again. In a heartbeat, I'll do it again. In a heartbeat, I'll do it again.
Okay, just keep connected. Keep connected. God's got more for you. I'm just going to talk you through just a tiny bit, but like be just staying connected to the Father. In the Song of Songs, you know, it can be read in a couple of ways. It can be like between a man and a woman, wife and a husband, or Jesus and the bride. And that's the way God was talking to me through it. And in there, it talks about our hearts being like a garden or a vineyard. And when we become Christians, Jesus comes to live in our heart by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to lead you into an encounter with the Father in the garden of your heart. You'll need to use your imagination, but know your imagination is a gift from God. And as we come now, the Holy Spirit will use you to connect you to Him. You don't have to be fearful about using it. Just trust Him. Let your heart understand that He delights in you and He is filled with joy and anticipation to be with you. And we are transformed as we understand the way God thinks and feels about us, especially in our weakness. We can so easily think that He just wants to point out the struggles, which are probably much bigger in our minds than they appear to Him. But actually, He loves to come and show us the gold that He's been working in us. So as I was reading through the Song of Songs, it was just talking about Jesus was saying, I've come into my garden, and then there was this list of all these amazing spices and plants and things that were there. And Jesus took me to the garden of my heart. And He showed me some things, which I'm just going to share a couple of things with you. And He showed me these flower beds. And in these beds were different coloured flowers. But one flower bed had red flowers in. And I said, Jesus, what are these? And He said, each time you've forgiven someone, I've planted this flower in this bed. And it gives off a lovely fragrance to me. And another bed had yellow flowers that were for courage. And the Holy Spirit began to remind me of times that I'd stepped out in courage. And He planted these flowers each time. And then He showed me this huge weeping willow tree. And Jesus took me underneath it. And there were all these bottles. And in there were all my tears that I'd cried. And He said to me, they are so precious. And underneath this tree, there was an angel that guarded these tears because they were so precious to Jesus. And I've also got, in my garden, there's like this golden room. And in there are like all the tools that the Holy Spirit gives me when I do freedom ministry. And we talk about them and He talks to me about them, and it's in that room, and there's so much more. And it's been for like the last couple of years, God's taken me on a journey and shown me things and met me there. And the other day I was doing this at a Father Heart school in Bedford, and there was a guy there, and he gave a testimony afterwards, and he said, when I'd been talking about this, he thought, oh, I don't know, it's a bit funny going into a garden. But you have to remember that God took Adam into a garden, didn't He? So it's okay. And he said, but the Holy Spirit said to him, just go with what Amanda's doing. And so he did. And then he was straight away in a garden, and God was talking to him about different vegetables and different things that God was showing him. And then down the garden path came his 14-year-old son, who actually had died of a brain tumour when he was 14.
And he straight away, this guy thought, oh, this is weird. I don't know if I want to go here. And at that moment, one of the team got up and he had a prophetic word and he said, I'm reuniting a father with a son. And he knew that that was for him. And he stayed there in the garden. And it was so healing for him. He said to the father, he was talking to his son, I don't want to leave this place. And the father said, you're going to have all eternity in a wonderful place. And we'll have your son for all eternity. But for now, I need you to come. We've got some work to do in the rest of your garden. So just God will use this powerfully. See what he does for you. So I'm just going to put some music on. And I'm just going to lead you. So you can picture yourself in a garden. If you don't want it to be a garden, it doesn't have to be. It can be a wood, a mountain, whatever you want. So just picture, just see where the Father wants to take you. And just go there with him. Come, Holy Spirit. And then just invite the Father. Say, Father, just come and be with me. You might already be with him. See what he does. Does he take your hand? Does he sit down? Do you go for a walk? Season is it in your garden? Can you see? What does he want to show you in your garden to encourage you? What does he think of being in this garden with you? Looking around with him, see what else he wants to show you. Have you got any questions that you want to ask him?
Are there any weeds or anything that he might just say, oh, let's pull that out. You don't need that. Start loosening them today. Is there anything that he wants to plant in your garden today? Father, show each person what you love about their garden. Anything he wants to give you to help you with the gardening. Just ask the Father, say, Father, what do you think of me? ask him, are you going to be able to come back in this garden with him again, or wherever you are? He's got more things to show you and reveal to you. We're just going to bring it to a close there. And I think Marco's going to come in. He's going to say something. Or not. No, he's not. We're going to be back here at 7.